Okay, this morning, Deuteronomy. We're just looking through the Old Testament, the rest of the Bible, what's in it for us. None of this stuff is written to us, but it's written for us. It's an ensample written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, it says there. Well, yeah, that's the Jews there, so these things happen unto them for ensamples. We can learn from the Jews, we can learn from the Gentiles in the Old Testament days. So just Deuteronomy in general, we finished up by going through the words. Verses. This is really hard not to just go through specific verses and preach and teach and everything. Because Deuteronomy is a marvelous sort of book here. Let's go to chapter 28. Let's see, the last tape for some folks out there never made it through all the verses on words, ran out of tape, and I flipped it over, but it's, didn't get it taped quick enough. But the notes are there. Look at those verses in Deuteronomy. Keeping in mind that the point here is God and Moses told everybody that they needed to hear God's words. The word is actually words. Not just God's word, wherever it is, floating around the Nelly Belly, whatever, but it's his words. He's very specific. And then in chapter 28, and boy, I'll tell you, chapter 28 is quite a chapter. You have, look at verse 1. It shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then it goes down, and now here are some blessings, as compared to the Matthew blessings. But we still have to remember, those aren't to us. That's not a promise. And we have Christians today that think that because they got everything, they have to have everything so perfect. The kids have to be just right. The family has to be just right. The home design, the workplace, your everything has to be in place. And you're obeying the voice of the Lord, although most of those Christians don't have any idea what the voice of the Lord says, but anyway, that they believe they deserve God's blessings because they're walking right, according to them. And they wonder why things happen to them the way they do. Then they get mad at God. We talked about that before. But you see the Old Testament flavor in all that thinking. Chapter 28, verses 1 to 14 shows what God would do for those people if they'd obey his words. Now, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And that list goes all the way to verse 68. Now, I'm sure you've read this before, but let's just point out the fact that if we want to claim those blessings in chapter 20, verse 1 to 14, then don't be surprised that you need to claim those curses if you don't do what you need to be doing. And listen, those are terrible things. And what I get out of this more than anything is I am so glad I didn't live then. I mean, that's just what I get out of this thing. It makes me marvelously thankful that I don't have to do this. And that's maybe a cop-out to some people, but okay, I'm copping out. I look at those things. Oh, look what he would do. Now, look at verse 32. Now, we can do some spiritual application here, though. A lot of this stuff can take place in a spiritual manner in our lives because we're looking for a spiritual kingdom that we're dealing with, not the physical. And lots of times we reap what we sow with our physical kingdom, and lots of times we still need to do right. And there's blessings from doing right, and a lot of times you get in trouble for doing right. So we just have to look at this thing carefully. But look at verse 32. If you're not hearkening to God's words, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. Isn't that a terrible thought? That your kids would go off and marry into the world, get messed up with some things that they shouldn't get messed up with? But look how he finishes this thing, though. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. He just reminds you how much it'll hurt a parent if their kid goes off to the world and marries into the world, and your eyes will look and you won't be able to find them because they're caught up in the world. Yeah, that's a sad thing. And there shall be no might in thine hand. If your kids are messing around or just out in the world, they're just messed up or whatever, don't you still sense you just don't have what you need to have? You're hurt. You're lonesome. You're concerned for your children. See, there's still application here on a spiritual basis. There's some truth in this stuff that's there for us. But you just read through all these things, and you can identify with some of those things, but that is not the fear that we need to fear, knowing what we know about Jesus Christ, what Paul has taught us about how to walk to please God, and et cetera, knowing that Christ paid for all these curses, paid for all these penalties. But we still sense some of that stuff, that our kids would go off to the world, and you'd be looking for them to come back, and they wouldn't. That's a sad thing, a very sad thing. I guess it's not sad enough, though, for parents with little children, because they don't worry about it until it's what? Too late. And this, when you got little ones like you have, just imagine your kid growing up, getting caught up in a mess, and walking away and not interested in you. Just imagine that today, because now is when you have to do something about it. You're not going to be able to talk them into it when they get older. So that's just one of the things. That's quite a chapter, isn't it? I mean, that's just... Read that chapter. Read what those people went through. Boy, all those verses up to 68? Boy, I sure would have done right. No. But still. Let's just look at verse 66. I mean, this whole thing is just preachable for a couple weeks here. Verse 66. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. Well, we know we're not, but we can't boast thyself for tomorrow, because one of these days, some of us aren't going to have tomorrow. So we know that. But we don't have to fear God killing us, even when we don't have it all together yet. Because if that were to be true, we would be part of the what? Take your number, 24,000, wherever those places are where he kills people. We'd be one of those groups. We'd have been gone by now. So we don't have to fear that. But still, scary stuff to read about that kind of thing. Well, let's go to chapter 31. No, let's not do that. Let's go back to 28. Actually, let's go back to 8. We are going to go over something I was going to kind of skip through because we don't need it. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We're going to spend the next couple of minutes before we get into some other little things here. Chapter 32 is another huge chapter, but we're going to go back to chapter 8, verse 20. Let's look at the few verses that we've got just in Deuteronomy to talk about the voice of the Lord. Our little kids need to grow up realizing they can hear the voice of the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 20. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, wow, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Our kids will have to learn about the consequences in the Old Testament compared to today, but I want them to realize that these are the verses where it talks about the voice of the Lord, the voice of God, his voice. Look at chapter 9, verse 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. They heard his voice, and we hear his voice today. Chapter 13. Sure, it would be fun to have a couple of visitors that we know of in the last couple of weeks, today or tonight. Got a little bitty thing I'd like to talk about that Bible, but I'll save it in case somebody does show up this morning or tonight, I guess. I don't know. Wouldn't it be nice if some folks kind of drop in and, oh, it's nice to see you. always be ready for a sudden change in sermon. And the website folks out there, if you're reading the notes and they have nothing to do with what I'm talking about, it's because we have a couple of visitors. And I just got something I want to show them. Because if they come this morning and hear what we're talking about, they're going to go, ow. But anyway, ow now. Anyway, 13, verse 4. Nice that Kench has made it back safely. All of them. I think. One. Okay. Yeah. Did you get to drive it all, Sam?
See?
Tyler was... did you want to drive it all?
No, I
didn't drive it. Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Much safer. While you're back, yeah. Well, you know, scary thing, but an 18-year-old didn't get to see tomorrow. Just pulled out in the corner there and probably didn't even know what hit her. But it can sure happen any time, can it? But God didn't get her. That's what people need to realize. It's just, well, if you want to pull out in front of that car. You know. Although I still think that he's kept me from pulling out in front of a few cars. And, you know, and kept me from, it made me sneeze and make a mess in the car. And in the meantime, I didn't go through the step off on the green and I should have, and the car goes zooming through the red light. Was that how to manipulate my nose or what? But then it's because I'm living such an honorable and holy, devout life. Well, see, I mean, modern Christians just go weird, don't they, with their conclusions about the day? There's a lot of unsaved people that didn't get killed. Anyway, get back to the subject. Chapter 13, verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. How do you cleave unto him today? You carry that Bible everywhere you go. You look at that thing any chance you get, if you can, and you're cleaving unto him. You're staying close. Look at verse 18. Chapter 13, verse 18? 13, verse 14, 18. For thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. And that's very true. You obey the voice of the Lord. People don't realize that the voice of the Lord told us to go seek out a guy named Paul and his writings, and he will tell us all about Jesus Christ and what he did to the Jews and for the Jews and what the Jews did to him. And in the meantime, Paul will tell us how we should live our Christian life. That's obeying the voice of God. Chapter 15, verse 5. If you ever have something you want to say and preach on, but it's just not now to do it, it's just very frustrating right now. Listen to Charles Stanley for a couple of minutes this morning. He just got me. It's almost as bad as a Mutt and Jeff in the newspaper, Bill. Whoever those two guys are, the Catholic and the Jew.
Yeah.
Because Charles Stanley was major decepting this morning, very deceiving. Chapter 15, verse 5, here we go. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments, which I command thee this day. And then, man, I mean, they're told over and over. Look at verse 6, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. And also places to go with that thing here. Look at chapter 27. Where's that stove? Could just be instantly off. 27:10. Thou shalt therefore obey what, kids? The voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. How would we train our children to obey the voice of God? They need to learn how to what? Obey the voice of mom and dad. Then it becomes a habit. When they transfer it over to God, when they get old enough to know about it, they've already used to obey it. And then yet the parents pull up all this Old Testament stuff and they put the curses on their children when they don't obey. And they do all that horribly beating and abusing, and they go beyond what they need to go beyond. And by the time those kids grow up, they don't want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with God. Let's look at chapter 28. Chapter 28. Yep, we've been there. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, Verse 15 talks about if they will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. So there's a marvelous chapter. Kids, read that and get a chance. Look at verse 15 in that same chapter, in between those things. Verse 15. Oh, we did that one. Okay, look at verse 45. Sorry about that. 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, what are we learning here? God has to destroy evil. He has to destroy it. And back in the Old Testament days, he did. So God, that's God. And God hasn't changed. He just provided Jesus Christ to be there in our place. We just have to realize that God is really what we're seeing here. If they did not obey God, they'd be cursed, they'd be destroyed. He hasn't changed. He just paid for what needed to be paid. Look at verse 62. All the miles that go up to 60, I guess. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And you've got people that will tell you that's why you're sick, that's why you're the mess you're in, is because you're not obeying God. Yeah, they put that on there. Chapter 30. What about that verse in Corinthians? We'll talk about it sometime. Chapter 30, verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, if you did, he destroyed you. Or plague, or sickness, or something. Look at verse, look at chapter 33. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou in help to him from his enemies. The word voice throughout the Bible is really a marvelous, marvelous word. People don't realize how important even our voice is, talking to people. But anyway, let's go to chapter 31. The voice of the Lord, very, very important. Still have that today. Oh, I got to tell you, Charles Stanley this morning was yakking about how the Bible is inerrant, infallible. He's doing the whole thing about the Bible. It's withstood the test over centuries and all this kind of stuff. No changes, no nothing. And he doesn't have a change in his Bible. And I just wish I could go up to lunch with this guy and say, you know, how can you say this? And have all these different, and accept all these different Bibles. So then where is the Word of God? More important, where are the words of God? More important, where do we hear His voice? And you know what they're going to say. Well, it just comes to me. Some other things He said just bother me. And because He has that Billy Graham sound to His accent and stuff, very enjoyable to listen to. He's got that, He's just got it just right. That little southern thing. I don't have that. You know, I'm just who I is. Chapter 31, verse 28.
That's why we honor those who work with the word of God.
Because this is what we get right here.
Word and doctrine.
Oh, and my suit on too. I just can't do the suit thing there. This is rough. The tie, I mean. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Of course, this is the rest too, I don't know. Okay, chapter 31, here we go. The Song of Moses. Look at verse 28. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. That's a meeting you wouldn't want to go to after reading. Oh, I think I'm going to call in sick on this one. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. I find this interesting because they call it a song, and yet he speaks these words. It's not singing. Can you just today, what they do with this today? They put this old guy with a big old beard and stuff, and they give him a wireless mic, and they probably had that little wire thing right here, and he'd be up on this platform, and he would sing the song. He would do the rocking thing. Give here, oh, and he just led into this thing. But boy, when you read this thing, which I hope you all have a couple times, this just isn't going to make the top 10. This is a rough song to hear. There's so many things in this chapter. Let's do a couple of them. Look at verse 4. And look at verse 15. And we'll look at verse 18, verse 30, and look at verse 31. We see a word in there. The only place you see it here is the rock. Capital R-O-C-K. Look at verse 4. He is the rock. Verse 15. Rock of his salvation. 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? 31 is a good one though. For their rock, small r, is not as our rock, capital R. So you can use that today if you'd like. I mean, their rock is not, their rock is not our rock. It's not the rock, the capital R. Now, let's go to Matthew 16. With Bill's copyright permission here.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick touch on the rock here. Matthew 16. This is what Bill showed us a couple weeks ago, and we found some elephant trails in the process. It's just marvelous stuff just to get out and go around all these things. But here it is in a nutshell, verse 17, 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we know that Jesus Christ is the rock. We have no doubt about that. It goes through the scriptures. Capital R, of course. But see, we notice that this is not a capital R. We know Peter's not the rock. So what is this rock? Well, if you go up to verse 17, we see where it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or Barjona, I suppose if you're Mexican, Spanish, or whatever. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Okay, what is it? Because whatever it is, that's this rock. Let's go up to verse 16. What is it? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 15, But whom say ye that I am? So the church is going to be built upon this belief right here that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what it was built on. That's what it started with. Christ is the rock. Christ is the church. And this is where you got to get the church even rightly divided. At the beginning stages, believing that Jesus was the Christ was how that thing got started. Now, why is that such a big deal? Because we won't bunny trail this thing, but to know where the church got started, wipes out the Briders, it wipes out the Hyperdyes, it wipes out even the people that say, well, Jesus was pointing to himself. Well, if he was pointing to himself, which we've heard for years, that's what we've always believed, people know it's not Peter. So it had to be Jesus pointing to himself. But that is not a capital R. So, had to be, and Bill just suffered in verse 16. And that's what it was built on. Now, you've got people, all sorts of denominations, my brother included, who thinks because he believes in Jesus, because he knows that he is the Christ, he's the Son of God, because he believes that, that makes them all creatures. Which, by the way, we're no longer writing to each other. It lasted about two emails, and boom, I was the nicest guy you can imagine, I think it was, reminisced about all sorts of stuff, and sent pictures, and laughed and smiled, but as soon as I asked, do you really believe that Jesus Christ's body and blood, that wine and the wafer becomes his body and blood, boom, subject's closed. I can't argue with scriptures, I don't want to talk to you about it. See, that's the problem. They don't have any idea why they believe what they believe, and if they did, they would find out that they are believing today in the foundational belief of the church in the gospel days to believe that Jesus was the Christ. And that's where it got started. But if that's all you're believing today, you better either throw out your Bible or do a little more than just believing that he's the Son of God. And we'll talk about that more as we get going here. Probably tonight, maybe we'll see. I got so many sermons, things to preach to my head here the last couple of days that, I don't know. But anyway, it's a big deal to realize this thing about the rocket, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, you can teach your kids to believe that he's the Son of God. He's the, they need to know that. He is the Christ. But see, that doesn't make them a Christian. There comes a day where they've got to hear the word of truth, which is what you're doing. You're giving them the word of truth. And they're believing it. They believe that. But is there a trust there? Well, you've got to kind of grow up and know what to trust, how to trust. They don't even trust your parents sometimes. But they learn that. So there comes a day where it carries a little further than that. Marvelous thing. Just marvelous stuff. And this goes back to Deuteronomy again. That's where the church got to start. Foundation, was on that belief. Well, you see in that Ephesians, again, it all boils down to the word of truth. The word of truth is the key to this thing. That's the beginning seed that's got to grow. Okay. Chapter 32. All right, then write down the verse. Okay. See if I can find it in here. I got a good drink and go to your. Yep. Jealousy. Where you got that? Jealousy. Chapter 32. Yep. Provoke him to jealousy. Now look at 15. We'll read up. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. I like that word, thick. Boy, you're looking a little thick these years. That's not as bad as fat. I don't like the word fat, but thick I can live with. Thick is, thick. Thou art covered with fatness. See, that's just something wrong with that. That doesn't sound near so good. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations, provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up. The King James says, well, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. See, we need to teach our kids. Because they don't learn it, they haven't even forgotten it. So it's important to know God. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children of whom is no faith. Now look at this. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Wow, this is way back in Deuteronomy he's talking about that. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And you go up to Romans chapter 10 or Romans chapter 11, and he says the same thing. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Way back to Deuteronomy. Now look at verse 46. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. Deuteronomy is really a marvelous book. And I say that because I've been taught for so many years, up many years ago, that Deuteronomy was pretty dull. Just another one of those things, listing laws and do's and don'ts. But, oh, man. Not on anyway. Verse 30, chapter 32, verse 46. 46? Yep, I was not pointing the wrong verse. Doesn't 45 look a lot like 46 to you? Anybody? No? Okay. It says that, we'll go to 44, and Moses came and spake all the words of the song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. My observation there was, we need to teach God to our children. 32. 32, verse 45, 44, 45, and 46. We need to teach our children, not just these, of course, but the rightly dividing aspect of it. Okay, chapter 28, chapter 32, marvelous chapters. Let's go to chapter 34 and finish this up in Deuteronomy today. 34, chapter 34. And there's more in there, but I'm doing good not to yak about the whole thing. We made this observation, I think, at last week's sermon somewhere. Remember, verse 9, just an interesting little observation to watch here. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So, the word for, F-O-R, kind of ties in the fact that he was full of the spirit of wisdom. Kind of brings in the fact that Moses had laid his hands upon him, and that must have transferred over that spirit of wisdom. Isn't that interesting? That's just a very interesting thing to me. Have you ever tried to pass on your wisdom to your children by using your hands? It's a different definition of putting your hands on your children today to pass on wisdom. But have you noticed that a lot of the stuff that we passed on to our children we really wish we hadn't? But sometimes it looks like our hands pass on our lack of wisdom. So just, I suppose there's a sermon in there somewhere, but you can make it up on your own. Stick up your children. Let's just finish those verses there. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Just face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and all that mighty hand, and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. Now, go back to verse 5. Man, that's a good little comment in there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. Isn't that good? His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Natural force. It's natural. That's what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And it's happening. Is it not happening to you? And you know what, kids? It's going to happen to you someday. Enjoy your youth, as it says in Ecclesiastes. Let's go to Jude. So Moses is dead. You guys, kids, right? Moses died. He died able to see. His eyes were fine, and he didn't even die old. Right? Isn't that what that said? Now, what's Hollywood got to make up to be? An old guy. Barely hanging the key. Oh! Jude, why are we going to Jude? We're talking about Moses. Why are we going to Jude? John, you know why we're going to Jude? We're talking about Moses. Why? What verse? Think, Tom. What's that verse going to be about? Okay, that's good. And what about Moses? Yeah. What about it? Just a story in there a little bit? Or, how's that story go? Well, how come? Why would the devil want Moses? He's dead. What was God going to do with Moses? He's dead. Do you know that? You know what comes after the bone thing? Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Look at verse 9. Very good. You have Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Now why? Let's go to Revelation something. Any idea? Any idea, John? No, keep going. Keep going. Be warmer. Close. Right there. Let's go to Revelation 11. This is where just Moses comes back, and God still needed him. And boy, if the devil could have stopped Moses from coming back, that would have taken care of chapter 11. He could have had Davidica and Maria with their green shirts. But Michael prevented that, so that was good. Anyway, look at Revelation chapter 9, verse 4. We'll just get done here. Just kind of remind you about that guy. Revelation 9, verse 4, is commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, either any green thing, in case you want to know where that was at sometime for some unique conversations at work, neither any tree, but just remind them that that's during the tribulation. Appreciate you guys trying to take care of our trees, but you're just in the wrong dispensation, that's all. Kind of the thing. Go to work wearing a green shirt. What's the green shirt for? Oh, I'm holy and all this kind of stuff. Just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And you could get a following. You would get a follower. You get other people wearing green shirts too. That's an amazing thing. Yeah, here we are. What do you think, Mrs.? Does it work? The green shirt? Sure made his head red. He knows that green shirt hasn't helped him one iota. Okay, break for a bit. There's a couple minutes.